right now, if you really want to piss off a drag queen, send her a bouquet of roses. You think receiving roses would be a good thing, but if you're getting them from fans of Valentina from RuPaul's Drag Race, it could be interpreted as a threat.
Valentina, the Mexican-American ingenue from RuPaul's Drag Race, was criticized by the other contestants on the show for not encouraging her fans to be nice to the other Goyles. So, she recently asked her fans to spread the love and send all the queens some roses. Is she being nice or manipulative?
Today, cosplay queen and sorority slut, Fox E. Kim, joins us to talk about the battle royale that's unfolded on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Are reality TV shows relying on a little too much conflict to stay on the air?
Plus, Octavio Paz and the Mexican masks. Why it's hard for folks of Mexican heritage to express their true feelings.
Edgewater's hunky Abraham Lincoln statue goes viral.
Carrie Fisher's autopsy reveals her midichlorian count was off the charts.
And Dick Van Dyke finally acknowledges to Lady Bunny that his real name is Penis Von Lesbian. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you're listening to Feast of Fun because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. We have awesome t-shirts in our store inspired by great moments on our podcast. Check them out at feastoffun.com/store.
Devil's gonna get you.
I think he already did.
The devil's gonna get you.
I'm here.
Our guest today is host of Frat Night at Scarlet, Fox E. Kim.
Hi, how are you?
You're paid good money to wear sorority slut clothes. Mm-hmm. In a gay bar, mm-hmm. And paddle hot guys' butts.
Yeah, I paddle whoever wants to be paddled, yes.
Do you need help with that?
I'm ready to help. Scarlet Bar is a BYOP, bring your own paddle. Can I just do it with my hand? I mean, that's spanking then.
Let's practice. Stand up and let me hit your ass.
No.
Do it for your community.
It's a part of the fraternity thing, right? That's mm-hmm. why you have the paddle.
Right.
It's a ritual. I'm a little bit of a GDI.
I was in a fraternity. I have some other pranks I can pull on them.
Like what? Make them swallow your goldfish?
One of the things we had to do is they put a ring into like a bottle, bottom of a bowl, and then they filled the bowl with flour, and we had to blow the flour out of the bowl. It was terrible.
That sounds stupid.
It was so horrible. The other thing that they did is they blindfolded us, took us out into the middle of the country, and then just dropped us off. And they didn't realize, because I went to school nearby there, that they dropped us off within like half a mile of my parents' house.
Oh, and you're like, party.
So I just went home, got the car, and we drove back down. Mm-hmm. And they're like, how the fuck did you guys get back here so fast?
It sounds like you got kidnapped by terrorists and they just used the cover of the fraternity as a thing.
Yeah, they were all country boys.
Oh. So that's like your best bread and butter gig. Right?
I love it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm there every week, every Thursday. It's a lot of fun.
That's hot, girl.
Yeah. And you would mm-hmm. be surprised at people who want to be spanked. I didn't realize that Chicago had such
a thing.
My favorite ones are the guys who get there off work, right? So they're there like 10 drinking and they're in these suits and they're just like, I want to be hit. I've had people come up to me and be like, oh my God, you're Foxy Kim. I really want to be paddled. And I'm like, well, it's Tuesday. I don't have it. So,
well, you're a good looking guy. People swipe right on the Tinder, the Grindr, and the Scruff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you're in drag, you're also a pretty lady. Okay. So they also, they like your surf and your turf.
Yeah, yeah. I get your
fish and steak.
Get you a girl who can do both. So.
A little tartar sauce on the side.
Oh no, ketchup only. I know somebody, or at least some person
that everybody would like to paddle is Valentina.
Oh God.
From RuPaul's Drag Race season
nine.
Season 9. Some people are calling it the worst season ever because this season all the drag queens seem to have this attitude like, hurry up and get this show done so I can be a celebrity too.
I think that's a fair criticism. I don't know that it's the worst season. It's no season 7. That was the worst season.
Season with Pearl and Violet Tchotchke also was considered underwhelming. Why?
Yes. You just you had a lot of acting challenges that didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of artificial, right? Like, what drag queen is going to be in a remake of Shakespeare? This is weird, right?
It seemed like it wasn't showcasing their strengths.
Yeah, it seemed forced.
And they said that the acting challenges are ones that are very easy to edit to have whatever kind of outcome you want to have.
Right, you can.
So you can be really shitty at it, and then you can be like, well, we gave them a good at it.
Yeah.
And then season three, we felt the Heathers versus the Booger Queen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I liked that.
To me, it felt very insincere because the distinction between the pretty and the ugly queens was very little.
As much as I love Raja, and she's a beautiful drag queen, and she had a lot of smart things to say on that season. It's just kind of like, okay, we've had three beautiful drag queens in a row, so this is what this show is going to be. And so I was just kind of like ready to just kind of like not watch it anymore. Then season four came around, and we had the greatest star that ever emerged from that show, Sharon Needles, become the next winner. And so it was just like, it kind of changed it.
Yeah. Sharon Needles became famous by embracing a spookiness.
Yeah.
But she also covertly started making fun of RuPaul.
Oh, I hung out with Sharon Needles. Is really good at making fun of RuPaul. So she was doing the commentary. I was hanging out with her at the finale taping last season for season eight. And she starts talking about Dax! Point walking in, Dax's intro to the workroom and stuff, and she goes like, "Oh, look, 1984 RuPaul or something like that," and hilarious. And we were like, made her cut it out basically. And
oh, look, 1984 RuPaul. Yeah,
exactly. And the thing about impression,
that Sharon Needles' laughter is actually RuPaul's laughter, and then we added the little bell, and people are like, think of this bell as the Feast of Fun bell, but actually, when they go to commercial on Drag Race, you hear Rum! And the call bell pops in there, but it just happens so quickly that a lot of people don't pick up on it.
And some people that listen to the podcast refer to that as the Sharon Needles bell.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Correct. So every now and then we're just like, it's just the call bell.
It's the call bell. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, I got this cause I was like one time at Potbelly Sandwich Place, and they had one of these bells ring for service, and I was just kind of like loopy or something. And I went, nurse. And she was like, she took it and she's like threw it out the window.
They have the perfect bell at Subway. Just so stupid.
So anyway, for people who have not been following RuPaul's Drag Race, which for our audience is three of them.
You'd be surprised a lot of the listeners do not watch the show, but they still say, I still love the interviews with the queens, and I don't mind you guys talking about it.
Because Feast of Fun is ultimately a show about artists and how we make art and how we survive in society and how we navigate the creative mind, the creative spirit of an LGBT person. And what we've been fascinated by is the ingenue Valentina, who struck us as a very like grounded, wise, intelligent person throughout the season of RuPaul's Drag Race, until she got eliminated because she wouldn't want to lip sync to the words.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't understand how she tricked so many people. The instant she got on that show, I'm like, something's up. This does not.
What was she tricking them about?
So, like, again, you can't be doing drag for 10 months before you get on this show, look like that, and be like, this is all genuine. This is all me. This isn't someone feeding me this. This is all my artistry, and I'm owning this. Because the instant you crack that, right, and you get into this bottom two that you didn't think you would be because you've been built up, right, you crack. And she totally cracked under the pressure. And
so you were surprised that she looked that good. She wasn't a booger queen at 10 months. So how do you say it in Spanish?
Una mucosa.
Mucosa, una reina mucosa.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and so something's got to be up. Something's, you know, this is
so
weird.
So somebody's painting her, or
building you up. Okay. Right, somehow, whether it's with the makeup, whether it's with the fashion. But something.
And that's okay, right?
It's fine. There's certainly nothing wrong with it. And I don't think you can get on Drag Race all by yourself. I definitely think it takes a team, right? But
it takes a village, a very shady village.
You will eventually, a very one, but you will eventually crack, right? Mm-hmm. And if you've always been yes to everything you've done, and all of a sudden someone says no, and RuPaul tells you to take your mask off, and you're so entitled that you don't bother learning the words, because you think you won't.
As we know from Shave Kool-Aid at the reunion, there are seven words.
There are only seven words in the chorus.
What was the song?
I don't even
Greedy
remember.
By Ariana Grande.
Okay. Do you know the song? Can you sing the phrase?
I can't sing it right. You know, I mean, if I had the music and maybe.
But it's like, here, I'll just Google it.
No,
Greedy Ariana Grande lyrics. Let's look at the lyrics.
Yeah.
Boy, you give me feelings never felt before. I'm making it obvious by knocking at your door. I know that I'm coming tonight. You know I'm coming tonight. Don't want to deny it anymore. Been in the state of mind. Been in the state of mind. I guess those are the seven lyrics. Say, yeah. Been in the state of mind. Oh, yeah. Baby, you got lucky because you were rocking with the best. And I'm greedy because I'm so greedy because I'm taking money. I'm physically obsessed. I'm greedy. Yes, I'm so greedy. Ooh, you know, I'm greedy for love. You know, I'm greedy for love.
Yeah, right. So,
and that's basically the song.
And remember, when you're on this show, all you have to do, you don't have access to your phone. Mm-hmm. You have access to their iPod, which has all the songs on it, and like the news. And like, that's it. Like, what?
Oh, they give you the news?
Yeah.
According to a newspaper.
According to my friend who was on last season, right?
But they have to be able to read the newspaper, right?
Yeah.
They can't watch television.
Yeah, I think they maybe aren't able to watch TV. I don't know. And then, like, you're not allowed to go near your window and stuff. So, because
Willem ruined it for
everybody. You might see a nuclear explosion.
Nuclear.
No.
It's pronounced nuclear.
So she wouldn't take the mask off.
And to me, that comes off as entitlement, maybe arrogance, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking, I don't need, I'm safe, right? Why would I be? Well, no, it's a lip sync for your life.
And it's okay. Chances are, if you get on RuPaul's Drag Race, you're going to get eliminated.
Right.
The odds are
not in your favor.
How many contestants were this season?
13, 14.
13 or 14.
Let's just say 14. Right. You have a 1 in 14 chance of making it all the way. Mm-hmm. Chances are you're going to go home.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to prepare yourself. And this is the thing that, and I talked about this with Vivacious on the phone. Vivacious is going to come next week on the show to talk about like everything she's discovered throughout the season. And the one thing I was like, You're in that situation. It is so heartbreaking to go home, to be sent home after lip syncing for your life, that you're just in a state of shock.
Right.
You're not thinking, I'm going to give this dazzling exit. You know, so the queens, when they're, and the reason they do that is to, because they want to capture that intense, tragic emotion.
Right.
We're emotional junkies as TV viewers. And so we want to see this very perfect, coiffed individual crack.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw with Valentina, right? Mm-hmm. And so she was sent home. And then her fans, who grew to love her, were like, you... Especially to Alexis Michelle, which is a drag queen from New York City who considers herself a theater queen.
And a big deal.
She definitely has a Manhattan ego.
And so they said, you should have given yourself up for elimination.
Yeah, her fans are just like... the worst. So her fans have told Alexis Michelle, why didn't you just volunteer in her place? Alexis Michelle wasn't even in the bottom two. She wasn't even in the bottom two. It was Nina Bonina Brown who sent her home.
Yeah.
But Nina literally just did her job. And then they send death threats to Nina. Valentina.
What kind of death threats is a Drag Race 14-year-old kid from Guatemala is going to give you?
It seems like you should kill yourself, right? Like, you know, if I saw you, I'd beat you up. You know, shit like that. I'd beat you up. I'd kick your ass.
I would like to see you try.
Right. But I mean, that's how the internet works, right? And so death threats to Nina Bonina Brown. Someone hacked Shea Kuley's Instagram. It was a Valentina fan, right? And starts posting all this white supremacy bullshit. And... and you're just like, what is going on, guys?
I think it is.
It's I wonder not, what Shea really Kuley's password was going
to
be.
It's not really that hard to hack an account if you really wanted to.
What would you think like Shea Kuley's password would be? Because we know her pretty well.
It'd probably something with weed.
Do I look upset to you? Like,
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. La ganja estranja.
Right?
Love La ganja. So now Valentina, I guess, struck a lot of people as sort of passive aggressive in enjoying or possibly just, you know, not knowing what to do, watching all these people fight over her. And much like, you know, the Greek figure who threw the apple of discord, she enjoys to seeing the chaos unfolding before her.
Yeah. Yeah. The chaotic evil. Did you see the like moral alignment chart? And they have Valentina as chaotic evil. And then Cynthia, I think, was true neutral. Mm. And so, but.
Well, and so she did an Instagram post after this reunion because there was so much stuff that went on during the reunion, talking about how she abandoned people and how she's not kind to the other people and she's not congenial and that really it should be just fan favorite.
That was absolutely.
And that's really what it is because, it's congeniality is you're a nice person.
But it's typically lined up, right? So Ben LaCreme definitely was a fan favorite, but then was also like kind, right? So
Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so something that like I, again, as an observer, being friends with someone on last season, being backstage for all this, something I see is the film crew goes around and asks each queen on that season who they think
was the kindest.
Yeah. And so last season, what was it? 8. Everyone said Cynthia. Like it was just across the board. I don't know what happened this season, but I'm assuming it wasn't Valentina.
Well, they opened it up to voting, or I think they must have had voting before, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, what I'm thinking is because one of the top four queens, probably like Shay or Peppermint
is who I think it would have gone to.
Would have gone to. They're up for the crown. Mm. They're not going to be able to win that award, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. So they wouldn't be eligible. But then, I mean, I don't know, maybe Farrah, I guess. You're right. I think it would have gone to Peppermint. And like the internet seems to agree.
Farrah would have gotten Miss Congeniality, except she charges money to be congenial, if you know what I mean. Oh my God.
So, not knowing what to do with this discord, as the goddess is Eris.
Oh, yeah.
Who threw the apple of discord in front of the community, Valentina just kind of stayed silent. And then, finally, she posted on social media, I want nothing but love and happiness for everybody.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yep. And she said, please go to all the drag queens and post roses. Send them roses. But
that was, come on, she had to have known
it was kind
the
of
backlash.
It was manipulative. It came off as
why is it manipulative?
Yeah.
Why is it
because it's one of those things it's where it's like, let's say you have somebody like Coco Peru and like you always tell people like, make sure you tell Coco she's a very nice person, right?
Right.
And it seems like it's nice, but after a while it seems a little bit like bullying, right?
And
a little bit.
The goal for that is just like, I heard you on Feast of Fun. Yeah. I love you when you come on the show. And Coco Peru really is a nice person.
Yeah.
And part of the humor about it is that she was so obsessed with telling us that she was a nice person. It made her seem like, it made me doubt and made her that she was a cunt.
Is she really a nice person?
And Coco Peru really is a nice person. If you see Coco Peru, say, Fausto said you're a nice person. And I believe you.
And so all these kids who are what do they call them? The Vanis stands?
Stands. I heard them call themselves once the Foreskin Federation, and I nearly died. And I was like, oh my, okay. Very aptly named.
That is hysterical. And so,
what is it? Valentine's?
Valentine's.
Or Villain-tina.
She's Villain-tina.
She's Villain-tina or
she's the villain of the season.
Valentine's.
Right.
Because she's perfect. She's beautiful. She's a judge's favorite. Mm-hmm. She's the golden child, and they're all the wicked stepsisters who can't get the glass slipper.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, by saying, like, go out and put these roses on there, it's kind of, in some ways, it's a threat.
It is a threat.
I want you to know that Valentina sent me.
Right, yeah, Valentina sent me. It's like a kiss of death. Yeah.
I did put some roses. Shay posted something. She was very vague booking the other day about somebody, like, who she dropped out of her life. We might get to that later if we have time or not. Anyway, so I just posted some roses there just for shits and giggles, you know what I mean? Because this thing, I had just heard about it. Because I didn't really think anything about it at the time. I just thought it was kind of funny. But then I said, Fausto, go text some roses to Vivacious.
He goes,
why? I'm like, just go do it. And so he did it, and Vivacious's response was,
I hope Valentina cuts up all your wigs. How dare you send me roses from that despicable girl.
So she's not happier. And then Fausto and I were walking home, and it was a little dark outside, and then we walked by. Fausto's like, hi, and I look over, and like I'm like, hi, and then it turns out it's Naomi Smalls, who's in the neighborhood.
Our next door neighbor.
She doesn't live too far away from here now, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And so she's walking like a few streets, a few paces back, and then I shout after her. I said, I'm going to send you some roses.
Oh, no.
And then I hear this, fuck you.
That's a very Naomi response. That's great.
I'm not sending her roses. I just thought it was a funny thing to say. It's just so weird how this thing has really blown up and people are just like,
the roses now are a hate symbol. You know? It's not.
Well, Let's talk about the rose as a symbol in Latin American culture.
You were talking about this.
So there's a very famous poem by Jose Martí, who's from Cuba, right? And I'll read it just to you in Spanish and then in English. Cultivo una rosa blanca en junio como en enero, which means I grow a white rose in June as I do in January. My rose grows all the year long. Para el amigo sincero, for the friend who is sincere, que me da su mano franca, who gives me his frank hand. And y para el cruel que me arranca el corazón con que vivo, cargo ni ortiga cultivo, cultivo la rosa blanca. And for the cruel one who rips the heart with which I live, thistle or nettle cultivation, I grow the white rose.
That's dramatic.
It's very dramatic. And it's the idea that for your loved ones, as much as for your enemies, you develop this relationship. And sending roses to somebody can also be a really shitty, shady thing to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mob boss.
Well, because you have something beautiful and then it also has thorns, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's the idea.
It's a calling card, right? Like, I'm here. Yeah.
Now, you say that there's an essay by Octavio Paz.
Octavio Paz, who was won the Pulitzer Prize. I think he's the only Mexican at the time of his death, at least, to ever won a Pulitzer Prize. And he was a poet, well-regarded. And he wrote a very famous essay called Mexican Masks, or Máscaras Mexicanas. And I think that's really kind of interesting because Valentina wore a mask, right?
Yeah.
And so the main point of his essay is that a lot of Mexicans, they wear this kind of mask, and especially the men, they wear this macho mask, and they don't open up, because like opening up to somebody is a sign of weakness. And so when the girls on the reunion show were saying, you don't text me, you don't open up to me, you don't continue, and that's going to be like a very Mexican kind of thing. It's like my inside, what I feel on the inside, you are never going to see that. Otherwise, I'll be considered weak, and you will take advantage of me.
I mean, and I would say, you know, for a lot of my my mother is from Mexico, and I have a lot of friends, especially drag queen friends from Mexican culture. Mm-hmm. And I would say all of them, part of our cultural challenge is to feel comfortable and maybe even entitled a little bit to express how we really feel about something. Mm-hmm. It's hard to talk about.
I've had a lot of relationships with like Mexicans, and it's like it's hard to open up and hard to talk about those things, but when unless it comes to a full head, and then it just blows up, and then you find out what's really going on, and it's like a telenovela. I'm like, why didn't you just tell me that 3 months ago?
And this is a universal truth other parts of Latin America or in Spain. Mm-hmm. This is something that's really, I think, very inherent to Mexico and Mexican culture. Or as if you really want to pronounce it, correctly, you do it in the old school language. You put Mexica, right? So it's Mexico. There's a she in Mexico.
I mean, there was in that language, but not in Spanish.
so the Mexica, the place where the asteroid Chicxulub. Mm-hmm. It's a she. It's a sh sound, not an X sound. Just there's a she in Mexico.
So how problematic is she?
Valentina?
She or the sound?
I think there's a lot of Valentina strikes me as somebody who maybe bit off a little bit more than she can chew.
Yeah.
We've been trying to get her on the show. I'm dying to talk to her. And give her the ability to sort of think about and process what's been going on. I think the show, in some ways, hopefully, when it's good, it can be therapeutic for the guests. And ultimately, it can bridge a divide. I think Valentina is a really talented drag queen. I really like some of the things she had to say. And one thing that I kept missing in this season was just it felt like the queens were just they were annoyed by having to be there on Drag Race. They had watched so many seasons, and there was like, like Shea Coulee, why are you guys all being new here? Why are you, move
faster?
Well,
they were being new, yeah.
And I'm like, yes, we're all new. This is the part of the process. And the reason you get on a reality TV show is to get annoyed by other people who are going to do better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the part of the reason of getting on Drag Race is waiting in line. It's part of a making you do stupid things that are going to humiliate you, embarrass you, mm-hmm. that are not going to showcase your best side. It's being sent home early. Mm-hmm. It's being kept up late and waking up in the morning and dealing with, you know, arrogant judges who don't know any better, fawning right. over somebody inexplicably while you pour your heart and soul into this costume. That's what RuPaul's Drag Race is about. Yeah. And if you go there with this feeling that, you know, hurry up and let's get the celebrity game going, you're missing out on life. Why are you even an artist? Why are you even a drag queen? Give me back that wig.
That's deep.
And I think, you know, and I would like, you know, that's why we enjoyed so much, I think, Bianca Del Rio, because when she was right. reading the queens, there was also a part of her that was like, you know, caring about them, that she had an affection for them.
There's a motherly aspect to it.
And then she was enjoying just being on Drag Race. It was like this yeah. weird thing well, that you'll never experience again.
She knew she was going to win. So
did she? Do you think she knew from the beginning?
I've been following her for a long time. When she was on, I was like, oh, how could she not win? So.
Well, and you know, I think producers want people to win who are invested in and excited about being that mm-hmm. in that situation. And I think Shay, I think Valentina to some degree, Sasha and Peppermint and Trinity mm-hmm. have all sort of to some degree enjoyed being on the show.
Yeah, I think you would have to make it that far. Yeah, so.
And, you know, they're happy mm-hmm. that they made it that far and they're in the top four. Mm-hmm. They taped the finale, and mm-hmm. this is a spoiler alert. Yeah, so okay. Skip spoiler past alert. Yeah. the 10 minutes.
Alert. Skip like 10 minutes from yeah. now. And we'll
if you don't want to know what's going to happen right. at the finale, because yeah. they taped it in front of an audience about 300 people mm-hmm. and everybody went on social media and started mm-hmm. talking about the experience.
And yes. we don't know like, you know, who's going to win. We don't know anything yeah. like that. Yeah. There's been some leaks, but we just don't even know. Yeah. So for the finale, I guess we had like for the first time ever, we had two or we had a top four instead of a yeah. top three. And so what they did is that in order to win, they had people lip sync for their life.
Yeah.
And so they did this little game and got to choose who we were going to lip sync against. And so it was Shea Coulee versus Sasha. Mm-hmm. And then it was Peppermint versus Trinity.
Which one? I thought it was Peppermint versus Trinity came first.
Yeah. So what happened was Rue spins the wheel. It has all four names on there. It lands on Trinity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh shit, I have to go, right? But, okay, so this is where, this is my speculation. This is where things get weird. Trinity chooses to lip sync against Peppermint, which was a very odd choice, in my opinion, mm-hmm. because Peppermint is known for her performances. Like, Bob the Drag Queen has been talking about Peppermint well before Peppermint was even on the mm-hmm. show, about where she gets her inspiration from. Like, mm-hmm. it's from Peppermint. So, very weird that you would pick the one drag queen who you know is going to knock it out of the park.
Well, it could be a setup, right? Because right. it's a reality TV.
Right, and so this is knows? The problem. You don't know how much of this is staged, right? Mm-hmm. This is all, and these are all rumors. This is still some Redditor, right, mm-hmm. typing out what they see. So right. who knows?
There's I think still it's been kind of verified, though, right. that like this is kind of how it went down.
Yeah, and you see the wheel and of morality spinning. Yeah.
so. And so they lip sync for the life against each mm-hmm. other, and Peppermint ends up winning.
Yes.
Winning.
Yeah. And then she probably was going to, yeah.
And then
yeah.
Sasha Velour up against Shea Coulee. Yes. And from what I understand, a piece of Sasha's costume went out on the floor.
Something with rose petals and trips.
And yes. roses again.
Yeah,
and,
see it?
Right. See, maybe and the reunion show was filmed the day after this, yeah. right? And so Sasha won, and they filmed two crownings, one for Peppermint and one for Sasha.
Sasha, which I think is shady. They should have done all four, even just mm-hmm. Just to throw everyone up, like
even, to give them just, that
doesn't
experience.
Make sense. Yeah,
to or give them that experience. Maybe yeah. because they're going to announce the crowning live.
I think it's a
this
stunt.
Is all a stunt.
It's yeah. a stunt. I'm thinking it's a stunt.
Too. And then on Twitter,
I think was a stunt.
So RuPaul's Drag Race puts post scheduled tweets, meaning mm-hmm. they you know assign them to a certain date, and by mistake, wink, wink,
right.
they congratulated Sasha Velour on winning RuPaul's yep. Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
it went out, but then it was quickly deleted.
So it could, I I don't know if
but it's you remember, stunt. I mean, we've it's had just, episodes leak before. Remember yeah. how episodes would leak online and people would watch them? But, and so who knows? Yeah. But again, this is also could be a very stunt queen thing going on because, you know, RuPaul, I've heard her talk about recently, talking about, you know, the season when Roger was on and how it got leaked,
to immediately,
Perez,
yeah.
Perez Hilton mm-hmm. and how people really want to feel like they've got the inside scoop. They've got it because it really feeds the ego, mm-hmm. what she's talking about. And so I think she might be kind of manipulating us. She's like, oh, everybody wants to feel like they know, so let's give them something to chew on. But then when we actually crown the real winner, you won't know. Now, I'd be certainly happy if Sasha won. I think she's a fantastic right. Drag queen. And, and, you know, any queen that produces the media like she does, I'm very proud of.
So let's go with the top four.
Yeah.
Let's make the arguments case for and against them
okay.
winning
oh
Drag Race.
All right.
So let's start off with Sasha Velour.
Okay.
This is the Lady Gaga season, and no yeah. other drag queen really embodies Lady Gaga's eclectic artistry mm-hmm. style like Sasha Velour.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would agree. The yeah. artistry is so unique. Yeah.
Without and, doubt. The and fashion, and then also too, she's you know working in media, mm-hmm. and you know World of Wonder is all about people that are producing things,
right.
and so that could be a big part of it.
Now, there's Velour magazine mm-hmm, that she produces. Right. It used to be called Them, mm-hmm. and so, you know I'm still waiting. Sasha said she wanted to interview us for the magazine.
Still waiting, Sasha.
So I'm waiting her. For it.
But, so why wouldn't yeah. she win?
Oh, that's
so why a, wouldn't
that's
she
hard,
win?
Like I don't know.
So I feel like you have to compare it to like why someone might. Why could someone potentially beat her, maybe? Mm-hmm. Right? So.
Because she lip synced for her life and won.
No, she.
I think maybe because.
Oh, in the final. Yeah.
The same reason Sasha Velour wouldn't win might be yeah. the same reason Lady Gaga isn't a bigger star than she could be. It's because she really enjoys being an oddball.
Yeah, it gets too cerebral sometimes.
And
yeah,
gets she's very just, yeah. cerebral.
She's too smart.
She's too
smart for the Drag Race audience.
It can be. And that. Sort of, if everything is, you know, if everything is that kind of intelligent, cerebral artistry, it gets sort of predictive, right? Mm. Like, I can predict that you're going to do something. You're going to, take this cowboy look and you're going to make it look like a pencil skirt yeah. fashion. Blah,
and
blah,
why can't you just come out looking like a pageant queen?
Right, yeah, like, why can't you just give me...
Yeah, that's not true to who she is.
But right. And so that's maybe a weakness. Yeah.
So her weakness is not caving in to other people's mm-hmm. expectations of what she's supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, if you're on a reality show, you have to play the game.
Okay. Right? Next.
Okay. So should we go into talking about Shea Coulee, our Chicago homegirl?
Yay. Team Shea.
We've worked with Shea Coulee for years, all of us. We know Shea very well. One thing that I felt was missing was Shea's intense sass and calling out bullshit yeah. as it comes
she
out.
She does it in the reunion.
And but finally, we got to see
and we're
that.
Like, this is the Shea. Like,
I feel like they kind of like zapped them with a cattle yeah. prod at the reunion and be like, you bitches need to step up because the people are saying this is the most boring season ever.
And that was right. There was no conflict.
Like, that's
no.
on you, editors, not on us.
Right.
You know?
And so I think they sort of pushed it out mm-hmm. of her. And I think she had always.
She also might at that point in time have nothing left to lose.
Right. I think
this was taped the
again,
day
maybe
after.
If these rumors are true, who knows? Mm-hmm. And maybe, I hope they're not, but I don't know, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that was her biggest. Yeah. I was like, where's this? Where's the Chicago attitude? That's what I wanted.
If you want to see like Shea performing, yeah. There's a lot of great montages in her episode of yeah. Cooking with Drag Queens. And you can see what a talent Shea Coulee is. Mm-hmm. And Shea mm-hmm. is somebody who, you know, really understands really well how to make costumes,
yeah.
how to perform, how to go from, you know, from ingredients to the final polish and the yeah. plating mm-hmm. of being a really fierce performer.
Yeah.
And to me, Shea would win because unlike the other queens, she's the one who really knows how to make that bread from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she grinds the wheat, right? She knows how yeah. to do that skillfully. And that
and understands
talent.
It in a very organic mm-hmm. process. What I think might be holding her back is that she may not have won, you know, and that she was that sort of calling things out as they are. And I talk about this with Vivacious, and she'll come on the show and talk about this, is, you know, Valentina has the luxury of being a Latina who doesn't give a fuck. A bitch who doesn't give a fuck. But Shea wants to be that bitch who doesn't give a fuck. But because maybe she's black or feels that her blackness is complex, she feels that she doesn't have the luxury to not give a fuck. So she takes the opposite approach and she gets herself all wound up over things that really, you know, are not that big of a deal. Maybe.
Maybe. Mm. Yeah. I mean,
that's a pretty good assessment,
yeah,
though.
That's an interesting, yeah, interesting mm-hmm. perspective.
Peppermint. No. Who is so sweet, just yeah. like the candy, and you know, is this really wonderful New York City institution. Mm-hmm. She's somebody who's been performing in all the clubs. She knows everybody in New York City. She is she's a New York City bona fide drag queen. Unlike, I would say, nobody knows who Alexis Michelle was until she got on this show.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But
not really.
I'm sure some
there's
people
this amazing. I mean,
but everybody, tangent, you've yeah. seen those everybody videos with Sherry yeah. Vine with yeah. with Peppermint is somebody who is part of that community,
she, yeah.
who loves that community. The community loves her. She's a very dynamic, you know, rigorous performer. She shows up on time. She delivers the goods, and she is a very versatile person. She goes to do weddings and bar mitzvahs, and right. she can do raunchy, wild club kid performances.
Yeah. That, yeah. I mean, she's known for her performances, right? Everyone knows Peppermint's just, you've seen in her lip syncs for her life. She destroys the other person. And you're like, well, you had a chance.
Why would Peppermint not win?
So if you kind of look at her, so if we think about like track records, right? Like I mm-hmm. think those should count for something on this, right? She fails to sort of deliver the like final look compared to these other three, right? Mm. Where they're able to take it to completion. Maybe sometimes she hasn't done that. And I think maybe it's getting in her head, right? So I don't know. I don't want to speak for her, but like maybe it's the trans, you know, her being trans is holding her back mm. and she's afraid to really. Maybe she feels like the producers don't want her to like mm. fully express that, and she holds herself mm-hmm. back. And I think that.
So are you thinking like she's trying to get into a little bit of that respectability politics? Because she's just like, I'm trans, and so I'm representing a whole segment of the community, so I can't be. Because right. we've seen her videos that she's done with Sherry Vine.
Yeah.
They're pretty raunchy. We have not seen yeah. any
cuts
of
loose.
That.
She cuts
yeah,
loose.
I think,
and we haven't really seen any of that in this. Of course, that might be Sherry Vine's terrible influence upon her. Maybe, but I also yeah. think that like, her transness also might be a great asset, especially because, you know, they say RuPaul picks the winner, but also too sometimes these, you know, these people that run the networks have a bit of a say, and maybe a little right. bit of a whisper in their ear. And I think trans is really hot right now, and I think that they're looking for new trans stars. Because listen, Laverne Cox, she can only get around so much,
oh,
and
I
so
love
they're you know, and so they're looking for other people to kind of like fill in some of that space, and maybe they might choose Peppermint because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I would hope that she would be good with, you know, being mm-hmm. visible and being trans. And I think she is right. Mm-hmm. And, she definitely had some great work done at the reunion, and I was like, oh, she's showing off. So that's good. Yeah. I think she felt more comfortable mm-hmm. after the show was done, which is, I mean, maybe a shame that she felt uncomfortable. Right.
Well, it was also, you know, we did talk to her, and she was, we only interviewed her once, and we were talking about Drag Race, and she's just like, I'm trans and I don't think they want me. And we're just like, go ahead and audition anyway,
yeah,
you know, and do
did.
It.
Yeah, so
and she did it. And now she's top
I'm
four.
I'm hoping this changes things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been telling people, you know, I had this dream, that I'm at an cemetery with RuPaul. Okay. And it's one of those like cemeteries like the Addams Family where there's jokes on the tombstones, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at RuPaul, and RuPaul looked at me and he's like, Fausto, your time has come.
Ooh.
And I was like, and it was almost like a threat. And I was like, but isn't like the show over? Isn't the season over? Isn't Drag Race over? And she says, it's never too late.
Ooh.
Which is something I always say to people, to the guests. It's never too late to pursue your dreams. Mm-hmm. Whether RuPaul's Drag Race wants you or somebody else wants you, mm-hmm. keep on, echa pa'lante, move yeah. forward, because ultimately, like Peppermint, she thought they didn't want her, mm-hmm. and now her life is forever changed because she moved forward.
Mm-hmm. And so lastly, we come to Trinity Taylor.
Yes.
The Tuck.
The Trinity the Tuck Taylor,
yeah,
who is like the pageant queen who pretty much has gone the furthest, well, as far as Roxy, because Roxy was also a pageant
right.
queen. But I think she's more of a pageant queen
yeah,
than anybody who ever
more,
has been that
yeah.
has gotten this far.
But I originally wrote her off, and then she mm-hmm. really just wowed me.
She delivered. She's got a great backstory
yeah.
about like her growing up and the hard mm-hmm. time that she had, and then of course, you know, she's she looks fabulous in drag and can perform. And yeah. I think, you know, having a pageant queen win would be good for Drag Race, because they've always, the pageant queens are all just like, oh, we don't get far, and nobody, they don't like us on Drag Race, that kind of thing. And now it's going to be like, here you are, shut up.
Right.
Trinity Tuck Taylor is amazing on social media. Yes. And she's the kind of person that you want to be friends with and get drunk with and do a couple lines of cocaine with. Because she, I imagine she is hilarious and a whole lot of fun just to be around. And that's the kind of like appeal that someone like Trinity Taylor has. As much as fabulous as these queens can look, ultimately it boils down to just your sensibility, your brain, your cunt, your charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. It's not necessarily you can be the best looking. It's just the fact that people are attracted to you as a person, and they love the fact that you help them forget about the troubles in the world when they spend a little time with you.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, like, you know, if you were to stand in line to do a meet and greet, you know, I would love to like meet Trinity the Tuck Taylor because she strikes me as somebody who will like crack me up.
Yeah, I think, and maybe sometimes unintentionally, but like in a good, like funny. Oops.
Like I would just stand there and watch her interact with fans. That's the kind of person like I'm attracted to Trinity Taylor. Yeah. So I could totally see her taking it.
Yeah, like when she accidentally said astigmatism, and then the internet made a commercial about it, and it was really funny. So
may the best woman win, and ultimately, you know, with these kind of contestant shows, not every season's going to be the same, and it's an organic process. And season 10 or season X,
right?
Maybe, you know, the best season of them all. Yeah. It's we're still yet to see what the future holds.
And they all get a trophy.
Yeah, they do.
Or
so
they don't get a trophy. No. RuPaul says like RuPaul you don't get a trophy.
You don't get a trophy, but you all do.
And but they don't get a trophy. They just show them picture like picking up those trophies. They don't get to take those.
They
RuPaul.
Don't get to keep them.
They're called Mad Cats.
The Mad Cats.
They don't get to keep them. You can buy them.
You
anybody
can buy them.
Can go
yeah, anyone
buy
can buy them.
Them.
Yeah, anyone
know?
Can buy them.
So for the record, the actual Olympics, the IOC gives medals to everybody who participates in the Olympics.
Yeah.
They've been doing it since the 1800s.
Yeah. Of course you're going to get a certificate.
You're get some
anything
kind of, you
participate,
this.
You're
yeah,
going
right.
to get this. So this whole idea of you getting a participation trophy and stuff like that, it's all such garbage.
Well, it's right-wing nonsense, and unfortunately and somebody is whispering Ayn Rand to RuPaul and Ron Paul. Ron Paul and RuPaul share more than common than just their names sounding alike.
Yeah.
They're also, in some ways, politically libertarian.
Yes.
And they have this idea that you have to earn your place on Earth. RuPaul likes to talk about that. And in some ways, you know, it's an appealing idea that you should feel like you want to contribute to your community. But ultimately, our humanity is never up for discussion. We all deserve food, shelter, water, to be appreciated and to be understood.
Yeah. And like praise and thanks. These are like good things that we need. And yeah, RuPaul does this sort of pseudo psychotherapy sometimes where she acts
what
like
do you call
she's
it pseudo
because she's not a therapist. She's not a psychologist. She doesn't have a degree or training or background in this. Right. But she,
most of us don't.
She presents it as if she does. Right. So she gives these talks, these what I would call psychotherapy talks, but not licensed, you know, not practiced, right, to these girls on the show. And she tries to give you this advice. And I just think it comes off sometimes as her really being unqualified to give that kind of life advice. It's sort of life coaches, right, are just untrained therapists.
If you could talk to RuPaul right now, what would you say to her?
Oh, man. I would actually just be really inquisitive of her time in the, was it the 80s or 90s when she was working at Mac and doing all the like modeling and spokes.
I want to know more about Lady Bunny and RuPaul doing acid and Lady Bunny going, the devil's going to get you.
Well,
that to me is this is what the magic about RuPaul is that RuPaul's seen all this stuff and lived it all. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We have too. And sometimes when you experience history, it's easy to disregard it. It's easy to say, you know, that's yesterday. This is I don't want to live in the past. I want to be in the present. But we're really fascinated about RuPaul's stories and adventures when she was a young
drag queen. Yeah, I want to know what was going on then and, like, what was that life like?
And, you know, I think
she even remember it?
Because I think it might help me
all the time.
I think it might help me better understand her now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you you know, why are you the way you are, right? Like, tell me some stuff from 30 years ago.
Lady Bunny's status update says, Drag Race producers are nervous as they prepare to pick a winner this Friday. We've gone so PC, they can't eliminate Shea Coulee, or they're racist. They can't eliminate Peppermint, or they're racist and transphobic. They can't shaft Trinity because she's a redneck and they own guns. Sasha's elimination would upset chemo victims. And they can't bring back Valentina without upsetting the mentally ill, by which I mean her fans.
She's going to get a ton of roses.
I know.
Does she have any roses yet? Let me put a rose.
Put a rose on it quickly. Is our attraction for, you know, here in Chicago, the Chicago community has gotten shook for Babadook.
Yes.
Especially you. Every other Facebook post of yours is Babadook.
It's so silly. And like, some people are like, why are you focusing on this? Or bigger, like, you should be focusing on real issues. I'm like, I focus on those too. Like, let me have some fun with this stupid meme. Mm-hmm. I love the Babadook movie.
What happened? So this is a movie that was on Netflix.
It takes place in Australia, I think. I really love psychological horror. And it is just, it's a phenomenal psychological horror movie.
Is that why you spend time with us?
Yeah. I really like to be on edge all the time, and it's really phenomenal. And then, you know, the internet, someone made a joke about it basically, and the internet ran with it, right? This is, he's now our gay icon
because the movie was listed in LGBT.
There was an accidental Netflix algorithm that categorized it as LGBT, and so everyone's like, what?
Well, in some ways it kind of is, because like, if you suppress him,
right,
like, he grows into a monster.
Yeah. And so someone was like, I terrorize families who try to suppress me, and I'm like, same. Right? Like, absolutely the same. So,
but Babadook is getting replaced by Cuca. Have you not seen Cuca?
No.
Cuca's this witch alligator from Brazilian television.
Okay. Well, we need her too.
It's like HR Puffin stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, someone was,
it's
like
an alligator
me,
with tits.
Me exposing you, and then you like,
so drag queens have been dressing up as this kind of like scary Australian boogeyman.
And so Lucy Stuhl did this phenomenal photo shoot of the Babadook, and it looked great.
I've heard some people say that the Babadook is also kind of like a blackface, like, I mean, a minstrel kind of character,
and that's preying on white people's fear of black people. That the boogeyman is this archetype.
I mean, can I spoil the movie? I guess.
Yeah. Most people are not going to watch it.
Like, the Babadook is the psychological depression and manifestation of this mother who's being tortured by basically her out of control son, right? And if you're observant, you figure that out during the movie, that it's actually just all in her head, right? So
you just spoiled that movie for me.
Sorry, I said spoiler alert.
I didn't think you'd spoil it like that.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, and Fifth Element, he was dope.
Also, this movie is not forever.
I'm sorry, the Sixth Sense?
Sixth Sense, exactly. So,
Fifth Element, love is the ultimate force in the universe.
Maybe even some
Luke's father is Darth Vader.
Dumbledore dies. So maybe you could say that, but he's a demon. He's not human. So I'm not really sure, he's not real. So I don't really know how he
could have left ambiguous in the movie.
It's ambiguous. If I were to, and so I've talked about this with some people, if I were to find a person that he looked like, I would actually find maybe an Eastern European Russian dude that's really hairy, is how I see it. It's like someone who's got bad teeth because he didn't have fluoride in his water, right? And just super hairy, unkempt hair, really bushy hair.
But the way I interpret it,
to me, a Russian mobster I don't think, but he doesn't have an ethnicity. This is where I get kind of frustrated.
This is also a child's imagination. Right. This is all come to life.
Right. This is all psycho. So yeah, the mom sees this book, right? And then it these things that are happening in the movie, you start to think, is he real? But no, it's actually just her hallucinating, right? So he's not real.
Do they ever show the monster in the movie?
You see it in the book, and you kind of see shadows and hands,
but they never show him fully.
Yeah, they don't really show him
so it's like Jaws. We never see the shark full until
there's no CGI, right?
Okay. So, yeah. Is our attraction to people wanting to have conflict a bad thing in a sense? You know, we're talking about like drag queen, drag race communities being toxic or combative, like the subreddit one. I mean,
well,
RuPaul's Drag Race is
out of control, right? So like, if a queen posts a status or someone tweets it, they will Nancy Drew their way to figure out what mm-hmm. she's talking about.
But Nancy Drew means that they'll sleuth their way.
Yeah. They'll
like, let's say, for example, Shea Coulee recently. We won't go into the details. Yeah. She basically vague booked about somebody, how like, oh, somebody's been toxic in my life and I got rid of them, and this is why they're terrible. Right. And so that got posted to Reddit and people were able to figure out exactly who it was and who they were talking about.
We call them
I don't know this person, but I mean, I've heard a little bit about this person.
Well, that's part of the tension is like, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a community to develop your drag queen career, you know, and so these queens get on Drag Race and then suddenly it's like every person who didn't give you the time of day mm-hmm. suddenly turns around and says, can I go on tour with you? Can I help you? I
mean, and those coattails can only
hold so many people.
Right, they can only pull you so far before they rip off. And I don't know, like you said, the environment is toxic in Reddit and the witch hunts they go on. And I call them the Nancy Drews.
Be patient, you know? Listen, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for Shea Coulee or any other drag queen, but it's like, ultimately, you know, the drag queens need their community because that's who you are. And just wait for them to come back because they're right now just touring. They're fulfilling their contracts. And eventually they'll be back and hanging out with you and your parties or whatever.
Yeah.
You
know? As soon as their career tanks.
That's
what
is, not fair.
What did Manila Luzon say? That they're young starlets with a short shelf life.
I mean, it can.
Some of them have full careers, but
some
you know.
Can and some can. That's is that really a bad thing? If
any young, career right? is going to have its high mm-hmm. points and low points, and to think about your career as a short or long one is a really it's becoming a size queen. Basically, you're not sucking the dick because it was well. Maybe some people are sucking because it's big.
Oh yeah,
you're sucking because you're horny.
Right. Oh god, how many times?
Yeah. You know?
Speaking of end of careers, Daniel Day-Lewis is retiring at the age of 60. And I think one of his movies, My Beautiful Laundrette, was one of the first big gay films ever. Mm-hmm. And that told the story of, you know,
laundry.
Of a laundry place. No, it was about a Muslim guy in love with a white guy and how they kind of had to like keep their relationship secret because it was like 1985 in the UK.
Right. And he played the laundry.
He played
lady.
The spin. He played. He took all the loads.
Oh
yeah!
They didn't have prep back then. That's so dangerous.
Got me so horny hearing the description of the movie.
But he was, you know, magnificent in Lincoln. Now everybody in Chicago is super hot over this Lincoln statue that we have in Edgewater.
Abraham Lincoln.
It's basically a clean-shaven Abraham Lincoln with a nice, tight, thin build, muscular build.
Yeah, very lean.
Not wearing his suit, but just wearing a loose-fitting shirt.
Yeah.
Rolled up to show his biceps.
And chest a little bit.
It's a young, muscular Abraham Lincoln, as we would imagine him snuggling up to Joshua Steed in that log cabin.
He was totally gay.
Well, you know, I think men's sexuality, our sexuality always changes through time.
Yeah.
It's not always the same thing.
Right.
And Abraham Lincoln probably most likely had a sexual relationships with men, but also was married to a woman as well and had children. So, you know,
I didn't realize that statue has been there since 1997.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden people are just because the internet is stupid.
And it was created in 1945. So it was a
so this is something that's been under our noses and we just never know.
And I've gone by there, you know, 100 times because I walk by there sometimes when I take Jets for walks. Yeah, we can walk over there right now. We'd mount that statue.
Let's build that log cabin one stick at a time.
Yeah, so I don't know where it's been hanging out for the past 60 years or what was it from 1945 to 1997.
I don't know.
Well, there and Chicago's like. Illinois is obsessed with Lincoln, you know.
Yeah,
Lincoln.
We have a
what's the land of Lincoln?
It seems on all our license plates.
Log cabin
businesses.
Republicans.
Yeah. Log cabin
is that
Republicans.
Where that come from?
Yeah,
from here.
Yeah, well, it's based on Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, right?
Right.
And so that's why they called themselves. And he grew up in a log cabin.
Republicans and Democrats mean different things today.
Yes, they certainly do.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the parade entries.
Oh, all the people, the Trump supporters. Yeah. But they're like a lot of them aren't log cabin Republicans. They're just like Republicans for Trump. They don't identify as log cabin Republicans.
So I'm looking here at the list for this year. There are no log cabin Republicans or Trump or anything like the word Republican nor the word log. I'm just doing a quick Google search here. Repub, log, theological seminary. And,
that's fine, whatever.
The Smelts. Yeah,
that's the swimming team.
But there is no Republicans whatsoever. Hmm. The Nuns for Fun Entertainment is as conservative as it gets.
Well, I mean, I hope that...
What do you think about there's been a lot of controversy over a lot of pride parades saying no thank you to Republican and Trump floats and participants.
I think that's fine. This is about showcasing our pride and our struggle and being out there and being able to be who we are. And if you are of the thought camp that we should not be this way or that someone else's rights are somehow better or more equal than ours, well, then I say, screw you. Mm. You don't get to be a part of this celebration of our diversity and our community.
Are you participating in the Pride Parade?
I'll be hiding at Scarlet in the air conditioning. Yeah. So no paddles on Sundays, but I'll be there.
Was it liquid brunch?
Yes, it is.
Have you heard about Carrie Fisher's autopsy report? Part of me is like, it's none of our business.
Right.
But then again, you know, what does the autopsy reveal?
That she's fabulous.
Yeah.
The autopsy revealed that she was fabulous.
That she had cocaine,
some MDMA,
heroin, and MDMA ecstasy in her bloodstream. But a lot of people are saying that it may have just been that she was taking ecstasy because a lot of the ecstasy has heroin and cocaine.
Yeah, you don't know what you're getting. I mean, like you said, is it really any of our business? Does it matter? I guess.
I don't know. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. And I think her daughter says it. Billy Lord told People magazine. She said, "My mom battled drug addiction and mental illness her entire life. She ultimately died of it. She was purposely open in all her work about the social stigma surrounding these diseases. She talked about the shame that torments people and their families confronted by the diseases. I know my mom, she'd want her death to encourage people to be open about their struggles, seek help, fight for government funding for mental health programs. Shame on those social stigmas are the enemies of progress to solutions and ultimately a cure."
I think that's a good response.
You know, it's a good response. And it's like, it's okay for us to know that she was on, that she had taken these drugs because she did struggle with this and she was very open about this through her entire life. And it's just, I'm not going to judge her for it.
Right. I think that's where it gets weird is when people get judgmental and say, see, she was a drug addict, right? Yeah. And it's like, well, no, okay.
She was trying to figure out what she's going to do because she was bipolar and things weren't working for her.
Didn't she have to lose all this weight to be General Leia for Star Wars?
I think they asked her to lose like 30 pounds or something like that. Yeah.
Girl, I can't even lose 10 pounds.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I was like walking past a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. Mark texts me. There's a hot muscle guy who's working the farmer's market booth. And I go in there and I just buy a bunch of like pastries.
That's not, isn't that defeat the purpose?
I call it the Flamers Market because there's so many gay guys there.
Gay people love a good Farmers Market. Girl.
They do. They're like, I need this aubergine.
Well, it's part of it is because it's you get your fresh produce, right? And there's something really wonderful about a young hunky man who works with the soil and he's like, I'm from Indiana and I work at a peach farm and would you like to buy some peaches? And you're like, ooh, their peaches are so fuzzy.
Ripe and juicy.
They're covered in, what is it, a biodome or something? What do they have? Because
peach fuzz.
No, people that work on farms and stuff, they have a lot of good bacteria on their bodies. I forget what it's called. It's like a biodome. So that's why you have to give them a nice hug and kiss and maybe French kiss so you can get some of that good bacteria.
Maybe a French kiss,
Or
just eat their soil.
I know what you're
talking about. It's their sort of like...
Their gut flora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like their flora.
But
right,
it's all bacteria. Over.
So you want basically a shit transplant from the...
I don't know that we
I just
want to
make out
there.
With his butt. That's all.
Because I guess like if you have like intestinal problems like Linda Carter, the Wonder Woman in real life, Linda Carter suffered from irritable bowel syndrome.
IBS.
IBS. And she became the spokesperson for it. She had horrible diarrhea. And
here, have a peach.
She'd swing around and lose her costume and all the shows come flying
springing around when she was transforming. In the bathroom, her husband would be like, damn, Wonder Woman, you just broke the toilet. Jeez. And so the way to cure it is to get a poop pills.
Right.
Yeah. But you got to get a donor who has good gut flora, who hasn't taken a lot of antibiotics and stuff.
Right.
And where are you going to find it? At the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
You get one of those hot, young, you know, dudes that are really sexy, the peach farmer. Oh, and you get him to come to your house and be like, and you get him to take a shit in your toilet. And then you steal that shit and put it in a pill and swallow it. And then suddenly, you're like, your irritable bowel
syndrome. The face I'm making right now is just like,
it's cured. Think about it. There's science behind it, bitch.
Okay. Fine.
Well, I was reading about that weight loss thing, because they were saying that millennials are having a harder time losing weight than like baby boomers. And part of it is because like our bacteria that's in our system is much different than it is now. And they called it a bio something or other. I forget. Biodome.
Lady Bunny posted on her Twitter account that tired old joke about Penis Von Lesbian, who's real, you know, change your name to Dick Van Dyke.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a joke that was made by Mary Tyler Moore in 1990 on her appearance with David Letterman. And Dick Van Dyke responded after all these years and was like, really?
No, it was really queen. Because really I guess queen, the thing was like, we're getting so PC now. Because that's, you know, she's really worried about things becoming too politically correct. Because she won't be able to say outrageous things anymore.
Yeah, we're going to put Lady Bunny in jail. Well.
Sorry, Lady Bunny, you can't say things anymore.
You have to go to the drag queen jail.
And then his response was like, really, queen? So I guess he spends a lot of time on social media. And that's a way to kind of like get with the young folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's finally acknowledged that old joke that Lady Bunny and everybody else makes about his name, Penis Von Lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, Dick Van Dyke's real name really is Richard Wayne Van Dyke.
Oh.
He was born in December 1925 in West Plains, Missouri.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
He is a real Van Dyke.
I'm glad it's not a fake Van Dyke.
Yeah. Foxy Kim.
Foxy, I hope you have a great Pride weekend.
Yes, I am.
Well, maybe we'll see you down at the parade. I'm debating on whether somebody invited us onto a float or not, so I might do it.
But it was a lame float. So
it's not a lame float. It's just, but the thing that's nice about it is it's at the beginning. So you go, you start off on time. And then, of course, you won't get interrupted by those pesky Black Lives Matters protesters.
You should see, again, the face I'm making right now.
Now, everybody that knows me knows I'm saying that for a joke.
No, well, because they have a reputation for a lot of politically progressive people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
have a reputation for stopping the parade or having
but they usually do it midway. They don't stop the beginning of the parade, because if you really want to stop, I'm giving you advice.
If you're going to
do this parade and you're going to stop the parade, do it in the beginning so you screw over Rahm Emanuel, because this is what I heard. He gets on that parade and he rides it for about 20 minutes and then he hops off.
Yeah,
he ducks
just like in real life. But he ditches early.
If they make a demonstration, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so, I want them to make a demonstration. Yeah. I absolutely do. I just did that for.
I encourage it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, in fact, I'll be marching with the Black Lives Matter people.
I'll lay down with them too.
I'll be like, no justice, no peace.
That's right.
I'm ready to start
justice,
a revolution.
No piece of this fine ass.
Oh my god!
I'm ready to start a motherfucking revolution, honey. You could put as many stripes and colors on your rainbow flag. Originally, it had eight colors,
and then they got rid of some just for
got rid of the pink because they ran out of the dye.
Yeah, they ran out of the dye.
They got rid of the pink and the turquoise because they ran out. They didn't have access to the fabric, and they were like, "Hey, it's cheaper to do a six-stripe flag and still looks like a rainbow."
And so, who came up with the expensive Philly flag? Because they added two more colors.
Some PR firm.
It was just a PR firm, but it was official for the city, though,
too,
right?
Yeah, it was official, and it was fine, and then, like, randomly white gay people lost their minds over
a little white fragility there.
Yeah,
well, people really need to understand that, especially in the gay neighborhood in Philadelphia, there's been a lot of race problems.
Yeah.
There's been owners of the bar who have used, like, racial derogatory terms.
Mm-hmm.
There's been, like, programs like you have to black people would have to have more IDs than other people, or they were subject you can't wear that in here. So there's a lot of policing of the black community, and this is their way of saying, like, listen, the gay neighborhood in Philadelphia should be welcoming to everybody.
Yeah.
And so nobody's changing the original flag.
No,
it's always going to be
like,
that
no one
flag.
Was changing it. I don't.
And it's like, there's also, too, is like, like, you know, the trans people have their own flag, the leather people have their own, there's so many different varieties, but it's just, you know, the idea of people taking this iconic thing and changing it, just their white fragility or something, yeah, just couldn't take it, and their minds just broke.
I could not. It was just so weird to see people who I thought got it, mm-hmm, didn't, yeah, and it was just,
I was happy I was kind of on vacation that week with my mother, so I didn't really have to deal with it,
because I was like, screenshotting, it was left and right.
She's got the timestams for everything.
I have the receipts for everything.
I want to see what you, I want to look at your folder.
I have a folder dedicated just to screenshots, and we're at about 7,000. So yeah,
have you ever posted anything that I did?
Did you ever screen cap anything?
Oh, I've definitely screen cap both of you.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh good. What did I say?
I don't know.
There's sometimes where she's like, you guys are problematic.
Yeah.
I'm always not. I stand by everything I say.
I know, and that's problematic.
I still stand by that.
And that's problematic. So
the thing about it is, there is no wrong way to celebrate Pride, and there, you know, it's a rainbow flag for a reason. You can have a rainbow of rainbow flags. You can have rainbow flags in all shapes and colors.
Meta rainbow.
Mm-hmm. You know, even brown shades of, I think the bear flag.
Yeah, the bear flag. And actually,
it's shades of poop, basically, with a bear claw in the middle of it.
I like, there were some variations on the flag that had the black and brown stripe. Someone actually took the brown stripe, put it on top with red, warmed it up, and put the black stripe on bottom with like purple, and it looked great, actually. And I was like, okay, maybe is it aesthetics, white people, like what's going on?
I think it may have been a little bit of everything.
It's confronting the racism, because they're like, well, I don't, why are you putting racism in front of me? I don't want to see
it. White fragility. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, LGBT people care a hell of a lot about aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. That too, right? That too. And I think,
and gay men, I mean, honey, we have apps dedicated to what we look like and whether we want to suck each other's dicks or not. Right. You know, Scruff, Grindr, Tinder, and so on and so forth.
And I guess that was probably my first reaction to it, because we recorded that the show number 2497 with Colette Gregory, who's African American comedian, straight identifying but a strong ally. And as soon as we did the podcast, I looked on Facebook and there was like, that controversy came up, and so I asked her about it. We're both like, I get it, but it doesn't necessarily look all that good.
Right. And some people they're like, well, if we are going to talk about aesthetics, we should, right? Like, I mean, make it look good. I don't know. It just seemed petty.
I did like somebody redesigned it with, and they had a power fist.
Yeah, that was
in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it's an inclusive movement. Yeah.
Right. And
other civil rights movements are not, don't define themselves the way LGBT equality does.
I think the intersectionality of like race and sexuality is important.
I think it
should be celebrated. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
That's why I was like,
burden.
You know, because they're talking about intersectionality. So I wonder if they just had the rainbow flag and just did a vertical black stripe through it.
Like a scuba flag.
Maybe people,
you know what that scuba flag is used for, right?
What?
When you go diving, you put the flag over the water floating, mm-hmm, so they know that you're there, so they don't run a boat over your head.
Oh.
Yeah. Diver down, honey.
I wonder if we'll see any of those at the Pride Parade. We'll see.
Go down on Pride.
Thank you, Foxy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having
me. I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feasttofun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
We have fabulous, gorgeous roses, lots of roses, and t-shirts at our store, feastoffun.com/store. You can get yourself a Dia de los Muertos Pride, combining different cultures and sensibilities, and send it to Valentina.
Perfect.
Send a Feast of Fun t-shirt to Valentina.
Oh my god, yeah. That's
please
great
do
marketing.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, send her some fucking roses.
I wonder if she does get any.
There is an actual Dia de los Muertos with a skull, a lightning bolt, and a bunch of roses around it in a rainbow flag. And I'm like, if I ever get to meet Valentina, I'd be like, aquí están tus rosas, Valentinas. Mm. Para la cruel señora que me arranca el corazón con que vivo, cardo ni ortiga cultivo. Cultivo la rosa blanca.
Okay.
I cultivate these roses so I can keep the thorns and give them to you.
That is petty. Petty, petty, petty.
Thank you so much, Foxy Kim.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.